September 14th, 2023, this program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj speaks Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Day. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Waruddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.drmirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Before we get started this evening, we are asking everyone to make a dua, a prayer, for our beloved sister, Umakaya Sharif. She was a teacher at Claire Muhammad School in Newark for over 40 years. May Allah bless our sister and grant her paradise. Allah, jobless, hunger, poverty. The Quran, Surah 34, Ayah 24. Allah feed from above and below. Now, Al-Islam wants to condition us for the work we have to do for our family and our neighborhood and our world. And how does it condition us? It tells us that the things that are invisible, the things that are not seen, they are stronger than the visible, what you see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the sky and how those bodies are held up there. And it seems as though there is not structure to support them. They are not supported by visible structures. There are planets up there, Jupiter, much bigger than the Earth, much heavier than the Earth. But we can go out there and get a telescope sometimes, maybe, and we can see it with our eyes if we know where to look for it. And it is up there in space, suspended in space. And it seems as though nothing is holding it up. Now, we know something is holding it up when we learn science, astronomy, etc. We know what's holding it up. Science has identified what is holding it up. But for the human eye, we don't see anything holding it up. So imagine that, if the Earth that we are on right now, we could not know the size of it unless science had not discovered how to measure the size of the Earth, how to know something about it. So we wouldn't know how to measure it. We would think it was endless. You don't see any end to the Earth. You keep going, you think it's endless. Look how amazing God's creation is. We can't really know it with our common senses, with our common mind. Look at space. These are the things God wants us to think about so that we will be conditioned to be successful in our life on Earth. He wants us to have faith, so he created a world to signal to you things that tell your thoughts and excite your intellect, excite your mind, and make you want to ask questions. Why? How long? Where does it end? Where are we going? These are the thoughts that brought people to believe in God and become thinkers and later seers and later messengers and prophets of God, looking at the wonders of creation. So God wants to prepare us to be successful. So he made a creation to prepare us to be successful. Then he revealed about the sky. He said, look at the sky, how he made it. Then he tells us that he feeds us not only from the earth that they say, he feeds us both from the sky and the earth. Then we study science and learn from science, nutrients come down with the rain, not just rain. He said he made the earth to give you all that you need. That is what God says. He made it to be enough for you and your needs, but yet we have a lot of people starving. A lot of people say they don't have work. Was God wrong? No. God is right. The world is wrong. There shouldn't be nobody starving. There shouldn't be nobody who is able to work out of work. We had the congressmen pushing for full unemployment, and we still should be pushing for full employment. There is no need for anyone who wants to work to be out of a job, and no need for anybody to be hungry. You hear about the war on poverty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God declared the first war on poverty when God told the Jews, Christians and us, not to be comfortable while our brothers and sisters are suffering. This is the war on poverty. Many have too much, and many have nothing. That is not good. It is not God's fault. It is the world's fault that who are not listening to God and not obeying God, that we have these ugly things happening to us on this earth and these ugly conditions in our lives on the earth. Hunger, joblessness, because man ordered worlds wrong. So these are the thoughts that brought people to believe in God and become thinkers and little seers and little messengers and prophets of God, looking at the wonders of the creation. So God wants to prepare us to be successful. So he made a creation to prepare us to be successful. Then he revealed about the sky, and he says, look at the sky, how he made it. Then he tells us, feed us not only from the earth, but he says, he feeds us both from the sky and the earth. Then we study science and learn from science. Nutrients come down with the water, with the rain, not just rain. So we think only rain, but science has discovered that not only water is coming down from the sky, but nutrients are coming down from the sky, and that is a substance that is needed in the earth to make plants and food grow more and better. It is for life, to feed the plant life. So not only water is coming down from the heavens, food is coming down from the heavens to grow your food better and to make it more abundant on this earth. So God revealed this long before science explained it, that he feeds you both from the heavens and from the skies and from the earth. The tree feeds from above, the spirit below, the material. The Quran, Surah 34, Ayah 24, Allah feeds from above and below. Say, who gives you substance from the heavens and the earth? Say, it is Allah, and certain it is that either we or ye are on right guidance or in manifest error. So this tree is feeding from above and from beneath. Above is symbolic of the spiritual need. It is feeding upon its spiritual life from what God created it for it, and its material life, rooted in the earth, is feeding also from what God provided for it. So the roots are not just feeding on material things, but the roots need spirit too. So it is feeding upon water and breathing air too. If it can't get oxygen, it will die. Not just the trees, even small plants. If the roots can't get oxygen, they will die. Feed above and below. The earth represents our appetite. Sky gives perception. The Quran Surah 34, Ayah 24, Allah feeds from above and below. The Quran Surah 57, Ayah 25, iron sent down. God says to us in the Quran that he is the one who provides for us from the earth and from the sky. He gives our substance, I'm using the language of the translator, provided both from the earth, what is that? To save a lot of time, I am not going to give a lot of quotes. I'm going to deal straight to the purpose, what is the earth, appetite. So God gives us whatever we need for our earthly appetite, food, clothing, shelter, comfort of this reality, etc. But he also gives us from the sky, and what comes from the sky? Rain. It is symbolic of revelation sometimes. So rain comes from the lower sky, and we know the other things. Sometimes the sky will rain down material objects, and sometimes we find after the object has burned, cooled down, and it is safe to go and pick it up with our hands. Precious metals come down from the sky. So he also gives us material from the sky, too. Not just water or spiritual. So that is why he says God sends down iron. So this is in the Quran, you who read. We know that that is a metaphor or a symbolic language that has to be understood, but it is also true in common language. We know there has been objects that fell to the earth from the sky, and they found that there were iron materials in those objects. It has been heated up, the fire falling through the atmosphere and cooled off, and there was the iron left there in the hole that the meteor made when it fell down into the earth. So we know this is literally true too. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran is true to your mind that is uneducated and true to the mind educated. So the language of revelation, it has to be true in both. So if God says that he is going to give you a pure virgins, he means that the pure ones will get pure virgins. You probably can't handle 72 of them, but it says 72, pardon me. Now, that is the part you need interpreted, but not the virgins. You're going to get some virgins down here. It says that the virgin man is very worthy of the virgin woman, and the virgin woman is worthy of the virgin man. But we know on this sexual level that that's the cheapest reward. So the more expensive reward is on the level of translation and interpretation. The hereafter is more valuable, more precious, both in quantity and quality. This is God's words in Quran. Sky, Allah gives us perception. So he's going to give us from the sky what will be these metals that fall from the sky. No. What is he going to give us from the sky? To govern our appetite. He is going to fulfill our appetite from the earth. To survive our appetite. Don't you know man has to survive his own appetite? His appetite will kill him, and the appetite will get him killed, both because if he wants what I have, I might kill him. You know that many of you, if he wants without bothering me, he might kill himself, consuming too much and consuming the wrong thing. So it is not talking about the earth giving or fulfills that. Our appetite, what is he going to give us from the sky? Perception. You students, please write that down. The clear perception that will free the life down on earth is the perception we get from the sky. The Arab quote says, the night has 8,000 eyes and the day but one. One talking about the sun and the thousand is talking about the stars. Actually, we know it is more than 1,000, but it says that just to make a picture, a comparison, the night has eyes, meaning that the night has light. And when you understand those lights, it will open you, your eyes, to a bigger reality. So it is the heavens that open our eyes to the bigger reality. We will never know this system of matter unless we study the sky. And you can't see the sky until the sun has gone. The sun sets and darkness prevails. And then we can see on a clear night when there are not clouds in the lower heavens. We can see a big space up there. That's right. Always tells us that space is much bigger than our space down here. Any common person knows that, and so many lights. The further you look, the deeper you go, you still see signs of more light behind those lights. They invented a telescope, and it revealed many lights that we couldn't see or reach with our eyes. They made the telescope powerful enough to see beyond what we can see. And even the telescope reaches its end. And it is just like the eye. See, there are more light behind the light that it can see too well. So we know that we cannot reach the end of the light. We can't reach the end of space. Man has progressed to this degree. He has progressed in science, technology, but he cannot give anybody on Earth a map of the universe because he is steadily turning his glass to see further and further away. And every time he gets a high-powered glass to see further away, he is seeing more stars. He didn't know the end of it. So he can't give us a map of this reality. He can't give us a map of this creation itself and says, if you want to see the end of God, to see where God starts and stops. First, see where his world starts and stops that you are living on, living in. You can't see that. And none of your high scientists can see that. The United States can't see that. It can't give us a map of the universe. It only can give us a map of what is known to them, the science so far. So that is reality that ought to humble you and stop you from asking disrespectful questions of God, disrespecting your God, asking stupid questions. Abraham is our second father. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 124, Abraham an imam for the nations. So from the heavens come perception, how are we to pinpoint this so we know, in fact, what this is all about? The prophet Abraham is our second father. He is called second father because he earned it from God. God saw him in his constitution, in his mental makeup, in his mind, his thoughts, his interests, what his heart was interested in. And God loved him in that form of even called him a friend. And God gives him a title, Imam, for all nations, for all people. According to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, God also established him as our second father when he reported to his followers and to the world what he experienced on this ascent. from the Kaaba up into the heavens, and his night travel from the vicinity of Mecca, the Kaaba, to the distant mosque of Aqsa, he reported what he saw. So when he was taken up, he saw Adam, our first father, on the first level. It is the ascending up into the heavens. He greeted him to let us know how we are to recognize Adam. He said, "Peace be on you, my father Adam." Every other level he ascended to to meet, he met the prophets. He would greet them the same. But he would not say, "Father." He said, "My brother." Well, this is my brother. That until he reached the seventh heaven and he met Abraham there and he greeted him also, "Father." He said, "Peace be on you, my father Abraham." You will not find this in the Quran. This is given so that we will know that we are as followers of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. We are to recognize Jesus Christ, Adam, and all the others. And the last in the seventh highest level, Abraham. So we are to recognize and to know that the two of those are our fathers of mankind. The first one, the mortal Adam, and the last one, the intellect, Ibrahim, Allahu Akbar. Now, did the skies serve Abraham? Abraham was trying to find truth to free his heart and his soul and put his mind in a situation to grow as it would please him. The thinkers, we call them free thinkers in the history of the development of the world. The free thinkers is pondering or thinking on what he is obviously observing, pardon me, in the real world. Everything in his environment, including himself, he is thinking, how did this come about and what is the purpose for this? He wants understanding for his mind and his soul. Abraham left his own father because now do not say he left his father too. This is nothing to do with little Wallace. We're talking about something bigger than Wallace right now. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks Block Talk Radio. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 1, Allah made angels with wings 2, 3, and 4 pairs. Allah created angels with wings and pairs 2, 3, and 4 equal, these are the forces of nature. Natural motivation, human drive, human sentiment, and human aspirations. Put them together and you will have Jah, the basic principles of operating in nature. Who worship Jah? The disbelievers who won't accept that a divine being created this world. He won't accept that anything but the forces of operation in nature in the material world. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 1, the originator. Break fast, break separation, plus is life, nucleus, seed, core for regeneration. Let us look at this word, break fast. It looks like to me, break fast, I would call it a quick break. Let us look at another word. It also means to abstain, to stay away from something. Break also means a separation. So the first meaning is a break followed by abstinence, abstaining from something. How can you connect that with religion? To stand in religion, you have to break from the ungodly world. And then after breaking from it, you have to resist this and keep away from the influences. This is not too bad. Eggs represent the nucleus of life, seeds of life. So the core for regeneration. Now, if you scramble that man, how are you going to get the pattern back? One second. Earth signs mean you will see God's word in everything. This is not foolishness, both Bible and Quran says, that the earth will one day shine with the glory of its Lord. The church will shine, the congregation will shine, the land will shine, everything is going to shine. Now, what does that mean? It means that the man has stolen the revealed knowledge and put it secretly everywhere. And it is coming a day when it is going to be exposed. And people are going to see it in everything that in all of their languages and all of their activities. They are going to see the imprint of the Word of God as a living proof that this world had nothing before it got God, before it got in touch with revelation. If I can explain to you the dining table, the connecting thing you have there with religion, and connect your dress and connect that which is, that is with it, go to your sports and connect that with it. If I can go to your science and connect that with it, if I can go to everything, even your mannerism, and connect that with what we call divine revelation, then that's the established proof that first there was God and revelation. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 1, the originator. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 1, the originator. Let's look at the word in Arabic for Tura. What letters are there are here? S-T-R-A. We put a feminine ending on it now. We have Fitra. What comes first? Nature. What is nature? Fitra. What is breakfast? Futura. Having the same basic letters. So this Fitra has the Arabic word in its nature. There is a chapter in the Quran called Al-Fatir. What does it mean? The originator. How can we understand God as the originator in the nature that was first made? So if we say God is the originator, it is speaking to his role in bringing about creation for the first time in its first state. Arabic words are basic letters, S, a heavy T, S, basic letters. So we can have nature, breakfast, and we can have originator from the same basic letter. So Thura is the most common name for lunch and noon. Noon is talking about the spiritual life. Nun is talking about the spiritual life. Let's go now to lunch. I don't do this for anybody but my good friends. Lunch has a different name. But the most common name is Thura. So this word actually means noon time. We mix a lot, Thura. That is the English word. And it connects with a word that the Catholics pronounce. It nun, nun. It is pronounced nun, noon. And what is it talking about? The same thing, a development in a certain aspect of human life. It is talking about the spiritual life, the spiritual development. So nun, noon is mythology, and nun is the religion. So I'm telling you, this connects again with noon. They pronounce this noon in the secret language. It is noon. So this is not only referring to a time of a day, the time of the day. It is pronounced noon, and this nun should be pronounced noon, but it is not. So what does nun mean? that this nun gets none of this world. They only want Jesus and the life to come. So this nun gets none of this world. Do you think I'm joking? Tell the learned people in theology what I'm telling you, and you will see I am not joking. When you see their faces, when you start talking, you will know I must not have been joking. These people are serious. Hura means the back of an animal, the sun arch. Fahira means it appeared. Hura means noonday, noontime. They changed it a bit. The same letter, then it becomes something else. So you just put dots here and it becomes Tahira. It means break. But it means the back of an animal, a part of the sun as it goes up from the horizon east up until the top. That arch, it makes like the back of an animal. It's called Tahira. Take another word. We just changed it a bit, Tahira. So this means it appeared, changed it a little more, we a little more to Euthira. And it means it appeared. So at the time of day, the sun is the highest in the sky. So the light is most perfused, broad, so the whole earth is given the maximum benefit of the light. So if you want the maximum of the light in a room, we raise the light higher so it can spread in a wider area. So this is from the verb. It is a bordering of light. So what does this? It indicates a time of intellectual abundance, of knowledge. The knowledge is really high and is spread far and wide. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks Live Talk Radio. Juma prayer at Surah time, the light is highest. Supper time when the light is gone, last supper. That is why the Juma prayer is at that time, because it represents the time when the rising of the intellect or the rising of the cultural life, where the light is highest and it is spread the furthest. So this is also the meal. What is the meal in this world? Supper. What time of day is that? When the light is gone, you make your own connection. I don't have to say anything behind that. This world has a last supper. The Last Supper at a time when the light is not to be seen, and I bear witness, they sure didn't show us any light in America. After Torah noon, the lunch, then comes the Isha, and we say Isha prayer, and the same word is for dinner, supper. These terms in our life are connected with religious life and the time for eating. Being connected with religious life tells us that somebody is thinking of connecting physical substances with spiritual substances. And whoever had the power to put spiritual language on our physical language must have been better positioned and authority in the world than the physical people. So if the physical people were in a position of authority, why did they put their physicalized language on all of these things? Can you see that the non-spiritual people haven't done anything? The religious people run everything, but they are two parts of the religious people. One part teaches the people out of their knowledge God revealed, and the other party spread the knowledge. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 3, substance feeds from above and below. blessings coming down and going and coming up. That's the way we should look at our life at home. Those that are standing tall over the little short one that was just born a few years ago, blessings ought to be coming down. Adults, and we ought to be looking at blessings coming up. The Quran Surah 35, Ayat 12. We eat fish from both sweet and the salt water. So water reflects. The soul, emotional nature, is a very sensitive body. The least little thing gets a response from it. C equals C, the water. Then let us see what near it or in it. View. The reflection is better when it is still. Water reflects human desire clarity. The Quran Surah 35, Ayat 12, eat fish from the two waters. The Quran Surah 13, Ayat 4, one water rains down, yet grows different plants. The Quran Surah 21, Ayat 30, Allah's life is created from water. Pardon me, all life is created from water. Ecclesiastes 11:1, cast your brand on the water. So you might say, you are giving it to us. You take the charge like that. Yes, you can do no more than God has created you to do. And man cannot withhold anything from man. God has created the protection. We don't have protection. I can give you all of that. And you can't do a thing with it. But there are a few out there who can do something with it. The Quran says, see how God causes the rain to fall down on the same land, and some things grow up beautiful and luxurious in their growth, and others come up niggly like a nigger who didn't get chance to go to school. Now, I know niggerly didn't come from nigger saying. The imam is confusing the two words. Niggerly comes from this rule, and niggers come from this rule. Please, don't waste your time. If you follow me upon faith, you will have problems, and the test of the following is always there. Faith, it is not how much knowledge you know or what challenge or university you attended. It is how much faith you got. This is the ultimate test. That is the final test. And if your faith is not good, even education, when you achieve there, nothing faith, is the beginning of the Quran says he created every living thing from water. So the Bible says, cast your brand upon the water and it will return to you. Have faith in the people and trust your knowledge to those who are nothing but spiritual. In constitution now, they are not rationally constituted or logically structured. They are just like water. But it is the beginning of life for the mentality, for the mind. Trust your knowledge to them, and it will return to you. Look at the English, trust your knowledge to the water, and it will return to you. It is a parable, isn't it? So we know that waves go out and come in, don't they? One time of the day, the waves go out. Then another time of the day, the waves come in. So those people who saw this were aware of the water enough to know that you can cast something upon the water and you just might find it on the shore in the morning. when the waves come back in. It also says those who were trying to convert this particular audience, they knew that they were talking to people who were selfishly motivated. They were dealing with a very selfish world. Stingy, a very selfish elite. They didn't want to share their knowledge with people, thinking that their knowledge would be given with no benefit to them directly. So those pious teachers were trying to convince the hard-hearted, selfish world to trust education to the masses of the people who are not legally structured, who are not students of high knowledge. They are not materially constituted. They are not industrialists, etc. They are just spirit, wind, water. They are just spirituality. Program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC. Imam Dr. Miraj speaks Block Talk Radio. So the truth that is the body of faith. So trust your knowledge to those common people who are established upon faith, and they are contained in the contents of faith and spirituality. Thus them. Do you get the picture? Thank God I'm drawing a beautiful picture. It is looking so good, I want to stop and just look at it for a while. Pardon me. That their advice would be accepting, and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they reached a lot of the government heads, and they took on this new knowledge. They did accomplish a lot. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayat 103, most men know not. In Al-Islam, we don't go that way. We don't compromise. We are not trying to get the leaders of the world to accept what we have for personal advantage or political advantage. We give it to them straight, and they can accept it or reject it. We trust God, the Creator, that God has created people who will reject because they are not of His spirit. And He has created people who will accept they are of His spirit. We will miss many, but we will get the few. In Quranic Arabic, it is wa akhirahum la yukulin. Once again, wa akhirahum la yukulin. Translated, it is, and most of them do not. The great majority of them, they don't know. They don't have the knowledge. So the Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 12, eat fresh from the two waters. Matthew 5:13, what good if the salt loses its savor? Are the sweet water on earth more than the salty water? No. There is much more ocean water than lake and river water, right? So the salty water bears us a lot of materials. There are huge fish in the salty water, the water of wealthy and powerful. That is the description of their spirituality. But you can't drink it, can you? I sure can't drink it. I will throw it up every time before it gets down. And just to think of a certain party of them was using salt until they had an interruption in their life by one who didn't believe in salt. He believed in kindness over salt. And he said, if the salt has lost its savor, throw it out. It is no more good. I'm bringing on a taste for sweetness. The day of our assault is out, and it won't taste good in the mouth of humanity anymore. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Quran comes back and it says, in both bodies you find fish, tender, delectable, tasty. What does it say? Al-Islam brings in new and a new interpretation of the ocean. Al-Islam does not see oceans as a spirituality of the rich or a spirituality of the materially powerful. Al-Islam sees the ocean interpreting the masses, interpreting the message from God in the ocean is what it should be. It should have remained in the condition of the people of the book. Caution. Salt is spirituality and a cautious intelligence. Weak water is spirituality of or in a fun-loving mentality. So here are a people who have spirituality and an intelligence inside the body of spirituality, a body in the conscious intelligence and the spirituality in the body of the lakes and the rivers is a fun-loving mentality. It loves life and having a good time like the church I visited one time. They sung so hard, they almost sung me through the walls. I went to the church, and they were jamming so hard, they almost blew me out of the congregation. They were having a good time. I don't dislike them. I love them because God causes us to love happiness, to love joy, not sadness and misery. But you need the balance of the salt water. So I guess this is why salt is on the table all the time. You need some caution in your spirituality. And I noticed that the big fish, by any name, he is not doing this in the water, jerking around, looking curiously. He is smooth. So Farah came and put the big fish in my water. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mr. Farah put the cautious spirit in the water of our faith, didn't he? Yes, he did. We have to give him credit. Without him, I wouldn't be where I am right now. And without the Honorable Elijah Muhammad around him for 3 years and taking what he left, and he stayed devoted to it until he brought about a big change in the black community. He brought the black community to stop being ashamed of their black color. Quran, the water too, the Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 12, eat fish from the two waters. When mankind comes together with ourselves, not discriminating against people because of race and national origin and anything, what are we doing? We are registering the burden on the human soul. And we get the big, and we get a big salty, don't we? We say we have to organize and change things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that too in man's soul. That is why it says from the book, the sweet water and the salt water is delicious meat. Ocean fish life moves about in a serious fashion. So this language is so beautiful when we free ourselves. As long as we are in the prison of our own narrow thinking, we cannot see it, the full beauty of God's revelation. But if we meet in the ocean of the souls of mankind, we can see in there, and those creatures, they move about in a serious fashion. You do not see living fish, whatever, in an ocean moving about like they are going to a carnival or to the playground or something. They move like serious business, like they are seeking serious business. But those little playful fish, sweet water fish, they are just flipping around about in the big ocean. The creatures are moving with caution, cautious precision. You have seen them, haven't you? If you have not, go to the aquarium and you will see the difference on how they move. Fish sight in a channel symbolic of preventing the intellect from destruction. Purpose brings unity to our life. As though in the channel, no. Some fish, like salmon, when you go to spawn, they are in a defined direction. And they continue in that direction until they get there. So what is it saying to us that there must be a higher purpose in the intellect of man? Keep on or to hold his intellectual vision where he does not lose it and have things distracting him to bring unity to his life. Purpose brings unity to our life. So when you give yourself to a higher purpose, it serves to unify your intellect, where your intellect is not going this way and that way and everywhere. So a defined aim of purpose serving the unity or a better world in this expression would be integrity. It serves to bring about integrity for man. So when he has higher purpose, integrity of conscience, where his mind has something to protect and advance his vision going forward, and his thoughts for his vision go and advance and in harmony, so serve to unify or bring about integrity for man, intellect and consciousness. Integrity means wholeness. Integrity means wholeness, but it also means harmony, agreement, and a workable unity. And that is very important for the productive mind. It has to achieve a higher purpose, something that appeals to the mind, need for peace, harmony, and integrity. It means that agreement is a defined focus. A person of integrity is a very strong person because sometimes something higher has formed. Order has contributed to the mind in the coming to the order and having a vision and a defined plan and a commitment to not violate principles for the plan, a moral. Stay rational, stay focused, stay obedient to a higher call. That is what makes great people. That is the interest in religion and scripture. It is not always respected in religion and expressed by preachers or leaders, but that is what scripture wants in man. You find a higher call that can bring about the best order for his intellect, for his mind, and situate him as a thinker or a visionary to accomplish all that God created man to accomplish on this planet Earth. Prophet mission to purify you. Muhammad the prophet prayed and the peace be upon him wanted to see all of us reach that when he said his followers, meet me at the water pool. The language used is like a big bathtub. So that says that his mission was to bring us all together for a refreshing bath. In the Quran, it's pictured him as the unlettered prophet, prayers in the peace be upon him, mentioned in the book that came before. Really mentioned in the Torah and the Gospel. And what is his mission? To purify you and to free you from every yoke of bond of slavery, all that enslaves the mind He came to free us from it. So prayer, the Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 18, prayer purifies. Bukhari, page 1, 345, Prophet given 5 prayers. Why do we pray? Muslims pray because we feel that we owe it to Almighty God. That's obedience and submission to Him. So there are many more reasons than that. We pray also because we know that prayer helps us. It helps us mentally. It helps us morally. The Holy Quran says that the prayer is best for the purifying. It cleans the thought. It cleans the mind. So we also pray because we feel that we should remember our God, and we should remember the benefit that we get from God and to acknowledge that those benefits come from Almighty God, whose proper name is Allah. Remember, Allah ties things together. The Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 45, remembrance of Allah is the greatest thing. The Holy Quran says that the remembrance of Allah is the best. It means that whatever you may think or doing, that will help you. There is nothing that can help you more than the remembrance of Allah. Not that. That is enough within itself to just remember Allah and forget about it. We know that prayer, if it is not really lived, that is, if the face that you show, it doesn't come out in your actions, we know it was nothing. Someone who just prays all the time and does nothing, his prayers has no meaning. But if you can pray and you are sincere in your prayers, and if you are really giving recognition to Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, this prayer is going to make you conscious of the things that you are neglecting to do in your own life. You may be neglecting your own wife. You may be neglecting your children. You may be neglecting the home. You may be neglecting your obligation to help the Muslim community. Be neglecting yourself. So whatever it is that you are neglecting, if we remember to turn to Allah in prayer, and if we do this conscious of what we are doing, it is going to improve us in every way. Before we close this evening, we want everyone to make a prayer for our beloved sister Umakaya Sharif. She was a teacher for Clare Muhammad School for about 40 years here in the Newark area. May Allah bless her with paradise. Pardon me. And ease her family during her hour of their hour of this separation. For that we know that the body dies, but the spirit lives on. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. And thank you for listening.